Well, hi there, Ken. Good to speak to you. And I think there's been a lot of activity since we last spoke, and you're talking to us from a surprise location this time. Would you like to tell us a bit more about this?
Hi, John. Since we last spoke, I've been making my way along the Black Sea escarpment on the north coast of Turkey, tackling some pretty tough hills, something probably similar to sort of Porlock Hill, quite a few people I think may well know, and picked up a little bit of injury along the way. Had this wonderful idea of somewhere great to kind of sort things out before I plough into wilder country further east, and so I've come to Malta. A little bit of a surprise even to myself, and so here we are.
Okay, Ken, perhaps you can tell us a bit about Malta. I know very little about the island, really. A little bit about what the weather's like, perhaps, and how you're spending your time, impressions and so on.
Beautiful island. Life is very simple for me because everybody speaks English in addition to Maltese, and it's just the perfect environment for me to sort out my sort of minor injuries. Got all the facilities I need here, and it's also a good place to have a bash at the visa jungle that I need to get sorted before I head further east into the stars and over to China. Just a beautiful place.
I know, Ken, when you were travelling through Europe, you had some very fortunate spells of hospitality from various people along the way. Have you been able to meet many people on the island of Malta since you've been there and been invited to their homes and so on?
Well, the place that I'm staying, the hostel that I'm in near the capital, is actually very much like a family home, and I think I've been sort of adopted here. It's a very small place, and quite a few of us are staying for, you know, a reasonable period of time. So it is like being a house guest rather than a sort of hosteler. So in that sense, being made to feel very welcome indeed. But generally the place is very friendly. There's just a very pleasant air to the whole place. Be it popping into shops or going down to the sports centre for training and things like that. Very welcoming indeed.
Are you missing the cycling very much at the moment, Ken, with all the other exercise that you're doing?
I'm certainly pining for Emma at the moment. I think she's quietly waiting and resting up for me at a secret location in Turkey. But somebody very kindly actually offered to lend me a bike at the weekend. So I'm hoping to do a little bit of training, actually exploring the island on two wheels, which will be, I think, good to go and do.
And I think also you've had a bit of contact with your family, haven't you, which is good.
Yes, my dad came and joined me out in Trabzon in eastern Turkey, which was just a cracking good time. We had a pretty adventurous 5 or 6 sort of days exploring into the hinterland, really sort of following our noses, having a bash at Turkish and things like this. And because I'm now out in Malta a little bit unexpectedly, I'm expecting my mum to come and join me in a couple of weeks and spend a little bit of time with me as well. She wasn't able to come to Turkey, but is able to come out here. So looking forward to seeing her. Otherwise, the next time will be probably Australia.
Okay, Ken. Now, when you get back on the road, I think Georgia will be the next country that you visit. And how far from the Turkish-Georgian border are you from Trabzon, which is where I think you'll resume your trip?
Well, suicidal Turkish lorry drivers permitting, I'm about 4 or 5 days of steady riding from the border, and it's probably a couple of weeks to cross Jordan, although I may well spend more time there continuing with the fight for visas. But I've got quite a lot of contacts already for Georgia, and people are going to be putting me up, so I'm kind of ready to move on and hit the next country, and very much looking forward to it.
Well, with the idea of you travelling to Georgia after you leave Turkey, we've got a special record lined up for you. I wonder if you can imagine what it might be, Ken.
Let me make a wild stab in the dark here. I wonder if it might be Georgia on My Mind, brought to fame during the Falklands War in 1982, I believe.
Okay, so once you've got your way through Georgia, Ken, my geography isn't very good and I haven't got an atlas to hand here, but what would be the first of these various stands that you're visiting? Perhaps you tell us a bit more about the stand, how many you'll be travelling through, and perhaps the order that you envisage at the moment.
The first stand I encounter is Azerbaijan, which will take me down to the Caspian Sea. And then I'm almost certainly going to be going northeast to take myself over to Kazakhstan rather than the slightly more obvious Turkmenistan, for the simple reason that it is a phenomenally difficult country to get into. They'd let me in for 5 days, but 900 miles in 5 days I think is kind of pushing it a bit. It's a little bit bureaucratic. I suggest anywhere which has a state committee for tourism is kind of probably not that friendly to visitors, really. So I'm going to have to go around that. So we'll still be cycling, but I'm going to take a sort of a northerly route to avoid that country and into then Uzbekistan, and then you've got Kyrgyzstan, and you sort of keep flipping between them before eventually you escape into China, which is frankly much easier to say.
And have you any idea at this stage, Ken, how long you might be in China?
I'm probably looking at the order of about sort of 3 to 4 months. Fingers crossed tomorrow I should have a visa which will let me stay there for about 6, which I'm sure will be more than ample. It really depends on whether I simply head for the coast of the South China Sea or whether I sort of turn and head sort of further south directly into the likes of sort of Vietnam, and I'm just sort of mulling on that at the moment. The important thing obviously is that I cross the continent. That is firmly in the grasp for this year. That's this year's goal.
Have you got any thoughts about your language abilities in Chinese?
No, I'm a proud owner of a Chinese phrase book. What I'm trying to master at the moment is the fact that it's a tonal language, which essentially means that you see a word when it's translated into our alphabet, and the meaning changes completely depending on whether you raise the tone of certain letters as you say them, or you lower it, or you keep it the same. That's the theory. How you do that in practice is the tricky bit, which I am desperately trying to get my head around at the moment. And as for trying to recognise characters, proper Chinese characters, I think that's going to be one of the things you just sort of keep battling with in country. But if I'm there for 3 or 4 months, hopefully I can get by, as they say.
Well, we'll wish you luck with all your Chinese linguistic skills. Just to round up this month, do a promotion about the website.
Yes, you can follow my adventures on www.acrosscontinents.org. You can subscribe to my blog, and you can see my intended route, but also, courtesy of GPS, where I've actually been. You can also find out details about the Outward Bound Trust that I'm seeking to raise £1 a mile for every mile cycled. So that's a target of about £45,000 to £48,000 over the next, 3.5 years. And if you like the stories that I tell, perhaps you might wish to visit the website, and you can securely make a donation towards what is a really great British charity working with young people.
That sounds really great, Ken. Well, we'll sign off now. Hope your injuries that you're recovering from in Malta clear up. Hope you have a great time, and speak to you next time from Georgia. Good luck for now.
Yes, thanks, John. Look forward to talking to you again soon, and thank you.